Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 8:04. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan keeping us on track. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are welcoming in co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ and co-host of The Steakhouse, Rusty Manziel.
I'm here.
Am I going to have to break you two up
no,
today?
No, we're good until about 9:02. We're good.
Well, the station is just shiny the days that Rusty comes in here bringing all the clout with the platforms you're on these days.
Oh, boy.
What's your schedule like this week?
I get paid to talk this week. It's one of those. I woke up this morning around 4:45. I took a shower, and I really had one of those moments where I'm like, you know what? This is what you do. So it's time to clock in. So
yeah.
Next 3 days will be on.
I love that. I've done a number of interviews over in Alabama this week, and I keep getting the same question. And I'm like, dude, I don't know why y'all asking me. I know I live here. But the question I keep getting from people in Alabama is like, how confident do you think Georgia is going this weekend? And I've asked a couple of people. I want you to answer it because I don't know. I don't have a feel for it at all from the Georgia side. I know how I feel as a Bama fan. Do I feel confident? No. But from the Georgia side, what's the emotion like?
I don't like the term boogeyman, but this is Kirby's 1-6. I mean, there's no way to dance around that. I know Kirby's a million people's asked questions about that, and everybody asked me in the offseason, man, I can't wait for Texas to come here. The home schedule is crazy. What do you think is the biggest game? The biggest game is Alabama. Period. They don't dance around it. I don't care about Arch Manning in July and all that stuff. It's Alabama. Georgia's 1-6, and the way they've lost that series, the way they've lost games, and you know the wild endings, and it's just the storylines there. It's Alabama, and Georgia needs to find a way to win one to kind of get a little bit of momentum in this series.
Rusty, do you think that they're going to pull up the Florida State tape and say, hey, that's how they use Castellanos. We have a guy that plays quarterback that can run as well. Are they going to try to do some of that stuff against Alabama with Gunnar Stockton? Because, look, I think Gunnar is really kind of coming into his own. He's kind of, you know, taking it out. He really showed his arm can win football games up in Knoxville, but he's still pretty good with his legs.
Well, he's not Thomas Castellanos, and I'll tell you, I watched him at Ware County. Kirby Smart begged him. He begged him to come to Georgia to play running back, and everybody did.
Wow.
Kirby Smart, they did everything they could to talk Thomas Castellanos into playing running back at Georgia. And credit to him, he said, I want to play quarterback. And he stick to his guns, and he's an athletic guy. So, yes, to answer your question, Gunnar Stockton in the run game is going to have to – you have to have that.
Yeah.
He took a shot on the first series against Austin Peay, and they shut him down. They did not do any of that run game stuff again. Against Tennessee, they did. You have to have Gunnar Stockton – involved in a run game. You have to have the defense account for him every play. It just drives people nuts. So is he Thomas Castellanos? No, but he can't hurt you with his legs. So I think that part of the game will be involved.
Well, and what's interesting about it too, now they go about their business the same, not the same way, but I think it's interesting to me how these two teams have sort of mirrored each other over the years, even though you just mentioned, and I think the word that Pat Forte used on air with us yesterday was the psychoanalysis of Kirby Smart. It was the psychoanalysis. It was like, okay. But it's interesting to me because I don't think either one of these teams are up front on defense, on the defensive line, what they have been.
Correct.
I don't think either one of these teams are on the offensive line, what they have been. This used to be a trench war slugfest between these two teams.
Too deep.
Yeah. And so I brought this up to you a minute ago. I think this was Cole Kublik. I actually heard talk about this yesterday, that the Georgia defensive line doesn't have a sack this year, yeah. Which I thought was – I was like, no way. And then I started kind of going back through my mind, and I was like, maybe they don't. And I think that's shocking. I said going into the year in our SEC preview that we did that I thought Elo Mendoza was going to bust on the scene.
Yep.
But we just haven't seen that performance out of the defensive line.
They got to find some guys. And really, truthfully, Georgia gets negative recruited because on the defensive line because they don't have the stats. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like Trayvon Walker in 3 years at Georgia had 9 sacks. He had 20 the last 2 in NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Their system is built for their inside linebackers and their third down package guys.
Yeah,
that's why Jalen Walker's a first rounder. You know what I mean? And Smile Mundon had all these sacks, and Kobe Dean had all these sacks. So you get negative recruited now. How do you get sacks as defensive line? You're Jalen Carter, and you win a one-on-one. You just beat the guard, and you get a sack, 100%. Negative play. So I don't really the stats doesn't worry me. It's the lack of production on their third down sacks. Elo Mendoza, Gabe Harris, Chris Cole – they've got to find a way to get that. And you're coming out of a bye week. If you're Glenn Schumann and Kirby Smart, you take 2 steps back and go, okay, what didn't work and what can we do? Because I can tell you this, the most popular term is the old cross dog, 2 linebackers just splitting in the A gap. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was ready for that. They ate Tennessee up 2 years in a row with those blitzes, and Tennessee was ready for that. Joey Aguilar got the ball out of his hands. So, you know, how's Georgia going to counter the Alabama with Ty Simpson trying to create pressure there?
Love it.
Kind of piggyback off of that, where do you think the keys for success for Kirby are this weekend to pull this off?
Well, you know, listen, Georgia's 53-4 at home under Kirby Smart, and one of those losses was a Hail Mary in Tennessee. The last loss they had in 2019, they lost in 2 overtimes, and they turned the ball over 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Sanford Stadium, for all the times, it's been, I would say, kind of some wine and cheese crowd. And when it gets rocking, it's as good as anywhere in the country. I expect that home crowd to be electric Saturday night.
Yeah.
That can help you a lot. Mike knows that and affect games. Georgia needs to find a way to kind of play their game. For whatever reason, this is the one, Mike, where Georgia hasn't been able to kind of dictate the pace against Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama's played their game. Georgia likes to muck it up and wear you down in second half and just kind of impose their will. They haven't been able to do that. So I think I talked to somebody yesterday. I said, those practices have been physical this week? And they go, hell yes, they have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Kirby knows when you play Alabama and all these big boy SEC teams, but particularly Alabama, this is a grown-ass man game.
Yeah, it definitely is. And just hearing you say that brings – I don't know what the word is. Maybe it's a sense of jealousy.
Yeah.
Because I know what practices were when I was at Alabama and when Nick was at Alabama.
Yes.
I don't think it's that way anymore.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of comments about Kalen DeBoer adjusting to the type of coaching that is needed in the SEC. It's frustrating. I'm curious, though, and you talked about the atmosphere. Ty Simpson, and Kirby said this, he's one of the hottest quarterbacks in college football, coming off the FSU game.
Yep.
You mentioned Kirby's record against Alabama. Kalen DeBoer's record away from Bryant-Denny Stadium is awful.
Yes.
It's just awful. I mean, they beat, Wisconsin last year away from home, and they beat –
I think he's 2-4 on the
road.
They
beat LSU away from home. There's 2 wins.
Lost to Oklahoma.
Lost to Oklahoma. Lost to Vandy. Lost to Tennessee.
Yep.
You lost the bowl game against Michigan. You lost to Florida State. And they've been ugly.
Yes.
Ugly.
Yes.
So I'm just curious what you think the success level will be this secondary, this defensive scheme of Glenn Schumann going up against Ty Simpson to get him out of the rhythm that he's found the last couple of weeks.
Well, first of all, you look for the Georgia side, they're going to take shots. And you'd be crazy not to if you're Alabama.
Yeah.
And what's a better play for Ty Simpson to dial it up going, I'm just throwing this one to Ryan Williams. I'm throwing this to Bernard. We're going to see one-on-one. We're going to manipulate it. We're going to run the motion. We're going to get you one-on-one with Daniel Harris, Ellis Robinson. Can you guys make plays? They're going to take shots. And they're going to take shots early. How do you get the crowd out of it? Jump on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put some doubt into Georgia. I would. It'd be crazy not to take a shot. After what Ryan Williams did last year, obviously, you know, Georgia's going to have to know there. Georgia's got to make plays. The questions about Gunnar Stockton going into Tennessee are the same questions about Ty Simpson going into Athens Saturday night.
That's a great point.
How is he going to handle this environment at night? Florida State, hell of an environment. Don't get mad at me, Mike and Sandra. It's not Sanford Stadium. It's not Sanford Stadium. It's 7:30. I can assure you that Saturday night and at 9 o'clock Saturday night. Because I'm telling you now, Everybody's going to be really lubed up coming walking that stadium on Saturday night. You know how it is. You know what
Golly.
I mean?
Golly. So, oh, man.
You know, that's I'm guaranteeing that part.
We are talking with co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ and co-host of The Steakhouse, Rusty Mansell. Okay, you said boogeyman earlier. It's the boogeyman for Kirby.
It is.
We're two sleeps away at this point. So mentally, where is Kirby right now? Where do you think how do you think he's feeling? Focused? Anxious?
I would say year two, he probably not sleeping an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kirby does a good job of seeing the bigger picture. Like this isn't an entire season. This is a massive game. There's a lot riding on this. It's not 2017 where if you lose to Alabama, like, oh, God, are we even gonna get in the playoffs? Can we get an SEC championship? All those things. It's not make or break for anybody. This is a huge game because it's 1-6 in what Kirby. I know him. I know how competitive he is. I know he wants this game. I know this team wants this game. I know everybody understands that. But I think Kirby's probably understands you got your game plan put in. He's been in a lot of big games. He knows what to expect Saturday. The recruiting section sold out. They know how to handle, you know, all the recruits coming in. He'll be pretty much on autopilot until he walks on that field and you have to react to how things go Saturday night.
I think that's such a good point, too, because I've had the question a ton this week. What does this game mean for Alabama? I think the conversation, what does this game mean for Alabama and what does it mean for Kalen DeBoer, are two completely different things.
Yes.
Now, does it mean a lot for Alabama this year? Yes. But your point of, like, what this game was 8-9 years ago, it's completely different. Like, right. I was making this point the other day. It's, like, not as stressful for me to watch Alabama lose because I'm like, okay, if something happens – you know, you change coordinators, you bring in a JUCO transfer at quarterback.
It's
so much different.
It's so hard to reprogram your mind as a college football fan.
Yeah.
I looked at Alabama this morning. If Alabama were to lose this game, Mike, they got Vandy at home next week.
I know.
Week, undefeated.
I'm thinking about going to that one. That is not going to be good.
Dude, they've got 45 seniors or grads. 45 seniors or grads.
Yep.
Then they go to Missouri.
Not good.
Then they have Tennessee at home.
Not good.
I mean, there's a lot of there's pressure on Georgia to flip this series or get some momentum in this series. This is a huge game for Alabama's season right here to me. And
that's what I was saying a minute ago, and that's what I was alluding to, is this is a big game for Alabama. This is a massive game for Kalen DeBoer. It's a massive game for Kalen DeBoer. If you're going to be the long-term solution at head coach after Nick Saban leaves, you can't drop this game because all of a sudden the doubt creeps in. And even though you're at home against Vandy next week and I'll be sitting in the stadium – it's like, dude, it's a slippery slope over there in Tuscaloosa right now.
Something. You lose this game, and that Monday call-in show will be that Monday call-in show will be real interesting because, listen, he's beat Georgia. He beat Georgia last year, and I think the bigger picture is if you beat Georgia, if you're Alabama, and you were to slip up one more time, you have that in your resume. You have that because you want to trust that Georgia's going to keep winning. You know, LSU beats Clemson, and they're like, man, we got that in our pocket.
Yeah.
Now Clemson's 1-3, and you're like, damn.
I know. I'm like the biggest Florida State fan now. I'm like,
help us. Baby. Yeah. That didn't help us.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Florida State might be the best team in the country.
Yeah, miracle. again, a team that got turned around with Portal.
Yeah.
You know, God awful last year.
That's a good point. Yep, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Rusty, when are you heading out to Athens?
Tomorrow. I got a show tomorrow night at Hotel Indigo and
big time, boy.
That's that'll be fun. I got a show Saturday morning and
a lot of irons in the fire, this guy.
Yeah.
A lot. This will be I don't get paid for my writing skills. You know what? I say this a lot. I think I was in the third grade and you used to get a report card and there was no online parent and you either got like S, N, or U. So an S was satisfactory, N was needs improvement, and a U was unsatisfactory. I had a teacher one time tell me that I talk too much. I had a teacher tell my dad one time on a teacher note, said, Rusty is your teacher's worst nightmare. He can talk and pay attention at the same time.
Wow.
You know what?
There you
go. This weekend, for that teacher that gave me an N, you know what? I get paid a damn talk now. So I haven't forgotten that,
baby.
My third grade teacher. I haven't forgotten that.
Love how that stuff sticks with you. Rusty, thanks for fitting us into your schedule this week.
Nice stuff, man.
Our conversation with Rusty was brought to you by Orchard, the smarter, faster, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. Coming up, we've got your chance to see Machine Gun Kelly. Another pair of tickets are going out. Got a Life of Squid as well. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for being here. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. And you want to give Dylan a call right now at 404-726-0929. If you would like to see Machine Gun Kelly, his Lost Americana tour with Wiz Khalifa is coming to Lakewood Amphitheater May 29th, 2026. Tickets go on sale today at noon, but we can take care of you right now. It's also at Ticketmaster.com, 404-726-0929. And this Saturday, I want to remind you, from noon until 2, you can join me out at Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. I've been hitting the road every single weekend visiting these Kias. It's been so much fun. We're getting you ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan is going to walk away with the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV. Other prizes come along with that, like a Yeti cooler. And another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. That will be Buffalo. Again, that is Saturday from noon until 2 at Jim Ellis Kia. Look, all day today, we've been covering the pistol, the Falcons offense. Are you pro, anti-pistol? Lots of opinions out there. I believe Mike and Bo broke it down really well at 7 and 7:40, how this offense can shape up. Mike, I just spotted a tweet I want to point out to you because I feel like Danimal Black summed it all up really well. After you explained your point of view on the pistol, he said, so it's the execution of certain plays by the whole offense that's the issue.
Absolutely.
It's not the play.
Absolutely.
It's
thank
the
you.
Execution.
Did you say Danimal Black?
Danimal Black.
Okay. Thank you, Danimal Black, for summing that up. And that's what I want people to hear more than anything. This is not a pistol problem per se. Now, are there issues with the pistol? Yeah. You know, do you want to use the pistol for 80% of your snaps? No. But this is an execution problem from the entire offense that has to be fixed. It doesn't matter if you're under center. Will it fix itself? No. If you go in shotgun, I am of the belief in shotgun that you're actually going to make a lot of these plays worse. And that's kind of what I'm saying in terms of the pistol. It's like you go to the pistol and you run wide zone. Pistol helps wide zone. If you go to the shotgun and all of a sudden the running back goes into that sidecar look where he's just next to the quarterback, then you can't run wide zone.
Mm-hmm.
Wide zone's not going to be the same. Not only that, but if you didn't think you were stressing the backside defender, the edge defender, out of the pistol, you're definitely not going to stress him out of the shotgun. So, yes, to answer Daniel Black's question, to sum things all up, everybody has to be better, and that starts with Zach Robinson. It starts with the coaches. Michael Penix's footwork and the stressors you're putting on selling things to the defense has got to improve.
If the pistol was being executed properly, would we even have heard the term pistol this season?
No, we wouldn't. And it's become a sticking point, much like the term play action, that these are the issues. We need to do less pistol and more play action passes. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it. I've broke it down. I've watched the film. The play action pass is not helping anything right now because of the way you operate in the backfield and your intensity out of your quarterback and your running back on some of these fake handoffs. It only helps if you sell it. All right, the offensive line's not selling it. Bijan's not selling it. And Michael Penix's footwork, while lazy on some of his dropbacks, was awful on some of the play-action passes. Don't go in pistol, take one step to your left, fake a handoff, and then try to roll out to your right while you're left-handed, by the way. It's not working, and it's all the above. You don't, and Zach, we played the clip, Allie, of Zach Robinson earlier where he says, in times like this, we think about simplifying.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely freaking not. No, you don't. You put more diversity into what you're doing so that it's taking some of the pressure on having to be perfect every time you lay a block. If you are trying to block wide zone out of pistol 20 times and you fail on 5 of them, you're still at a decent percentage as a lineman, but those 5 plays are going to get blown up in the backfield. Throw in a middle screen to a running back. Throw in a draw game. Throw in some more plays with pulling guards, trap plays where Charlie Warner's wham from the inside. Like, there's so many different things you can do. And my biggest issue is not the pistol. It's not play action. It's not Michael Penix. It's for my biggest issue is the fact that when Zach Robinson is calling plays, it seems like he's selecting from a menu of about five. It's like, oh, you know what? Here's five plays I want to run. Which one is it going to be? Is that predictable? Maybe that's the word you go with. If one play goes left, one play goes right. I don't know if that's the term predictability is right, but the playbook seems so thin right now that I can't even properly put it into words.
What could Zach do this weekend that'll get him back on your good side?
Just diversity. Diversity in the way that you're going about your business. I know that there's some duo in there we've tried to run. We're not exactly built for that. There's some inside zone we've tried to run. We're not exactly built for that. Use plays and use running schemes where you can get offensive linemen out in space, where you can do different things, where you can actually utilize the athleticism of Bergeron and Chris Lindstrom not going ahead. Get them in space, block linebackers on screens, run trap plays, run wham, run power, run whatever it is, pull the guards, get them out in space. That's how you can get on my good side.
All right, Zach, you heard that. Get back on
there
Mike's good side.
Come on, man.
All right, Dylan, let's hit Life of Squid.
I'm going to do my best impression. Yep, little Baron Burton's, little W sauce, little grill fired up this weekend. You know I'm going to light that grill up for that Bama-Georgia game this weekend before I got to go to work on Sunday. So, anyways, it is Life of Squid. And, guys, something popped up. And I want you and Dylan to both weigh in on this because I think I had a realization a minute ago. I've been to a lot of huge sporting events in my life, all right? When Rusty walked in here, did you hear what Rusty said? We're watching the TV. The Ryder Cup buildup is happening. He goes, dude, that's bucket list.
Yeah.
That's bucket list. That's top of the bucket list for me. He was like, I've always been around football games. Obviously, I don't know how much I'll get to watch this weekend. He's going to be so busy. But he's like, that's bucket list. I'm going to get to one before my life is over.
Yes.
Completely agree. Like, I would say right now, I've been to all the biggest, you know, NASCAR things, played in national title games, been to them all. Never been to a Super Bowl, but I'm trying to wait till the Falcons do that one.
Okay.
But here's what I'll say. Ryder Cup, top of the list for me right now. I have got to get to a Ryder Cup. Give me a bucket list item for you guys. Doesn't have to be a sporting event. I know yours might be a concert. No? Sporting event?
I'm going to go with the sporting event
yes,
for this.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the sporting
okay,
event
Okay, give
this.
It to me.
As a girl who watched Carrie Strug vault on a broken foot.
Yeah. Right down the street.
Right here in Atlanta. Left an impression. I mean, I would love to experience the Summer Olympics.
There you go.
And watch our gymnasts compete in the gymnastics. Like,
that's a pretty good one.
Just unbelievable. I mean, that's just something that's burned in my mind.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. What about you, Dylan?
So I'm actually going to tell a very, very quick story.
Please do.
When the Braves were in the World Series in 2021 and won it, the game where, what was our old outfielder's name? Adam Duvall. When Adam Duvall hit that grand slam, it looked like that was going to be the game. The Braves are going to clinch at home. Simone and I actually, because we had a plug, he actually snuck us into the game. We were just outside the battery. He actually snuck us into the game. So I've been to a World Series game.
It's because of your time
Series
running
game.
As the Home Depot bucket.
Right? That's exactly what. So I've been to World Series. I'm going to go with the sporting event, too. I would love to be at an NBA Finals. I'm going to – Super Bowl, obviously, of course, but I'm going to say NBA Finals because I feel like an NBA Finals is much more intimate. And, like, Super Bowl, there are a lot of, like – people there who aren't necessarily fans of either team. They're just there because they have the money to be at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But an NBA Finals, those are fans. And
yes.
You have fans of both teams there, and I would love to be in that environment, especially as a Hawks fan in State Farm Arena. So
that's such
fingers
a good
crossed.
Point. That's such a good point because it does feel like at the Super Bowl, a lot of like, you know, I think it has to be a crowd of 70,000. I think that's one of the things when they pick a stadium.
Yeah.
Has to be 70,000. It feels like 40 of them. Like, are just corporate ticket holders.
They're just vibing. I mean?
They're just
there
vibing,
for vibes.
Which I respect. And like I said, I didn't go to the Falcons Super Bowl in 2016. I was fresh off of my playing career, so I was like, that's kind of weird. Am I going to do that? Now I'm like, I want to go to the Super Bowl, but I want to wait till the Falcons are participating. But I'm with you. The finals would be cool. I've been to, like, Red Rocks for concerts.
Oh, you know, I want to go there.
Yeah. I'd like to go to MSG just in terms of being a venue and see some stuff. But, man, I've been to I went to a big boxing match, a Manny Pacquiao fight at Dallas Cowboys Stadium, which was cool. I've done some really cool things, but I'm telling you right now, the Ryder Cup, top of the list right now. Top of the list. I got to get to one before my life is over.
I'm thinking now we all need to come up with like a bucket list of events yeah. that we want to go to. It would be interesting to see everyone's different
there
perspective.
There you go. Whoever's got Top 5 Tuesday next week. There you go, baby. We're setting you up. There you go.
All right, coming up, former Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Falcons quarterback and now sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, DJ Shockley, is going to be joining us. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. Want to say congrats to Matt from McDonough who won the tickets to see Machine Gun Kelly. We'll have more tomorrow. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We're joined right now by former Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Falcons quarterback and now sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta, DJ Shockley. Shock, thanks for spending some time with us. Clearly, you're a busy guy. I got to ask you right off the top, though, who needs to win more this weekend, Raheem and the Falcons or Kirby in Georgia?
Allie, what up? Appreciate you guys having me. Bo, my boy Mike, what's up? Hey, yeah, that's a good question because, obviously, I think both sides need it for different reasons. You look at Alabama, obviously already having a loss on the season, and you want aspirations to playing the college football playoff, you got to win games like this. And for Georgia, it's just the old adage of, can we get Bama off our back? Can we finally get him? We, you know, did everything we wanted to. We finally get to play him at home. They tagged you on the ropes last year. I mean, they kind of embarrassed you early in this ball game. I think it has to be Georgia. I think just because of all the implications that you have around playing Alabama, you've played everybody else, you really destroyed everybody else. You play really well. But it's just something about this game that Kirby and the staff just cannot get over. And now there are no excuses. You got them at home. You got them at night. It's a prime time game. You're coming off one of the biggest games of your season already, showing who you are. And it would be a definitely big downer to have them come to your place and not play where you're supposed to and not get out with the W.
Shock, what's your whole take on everything that's going on with this Falcons offense, the whole pistol controversy, play action, you know, wide receivers in wrong places? What's your takeaway from what you saw last week and where this offense is currently?
Bo, that's a big load of question, man, because there's a lot going on for sure.
Why ask you?
There's a lot going on for sure. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go and you just named it. You named three or four different, you know, scenarios. I was actually on the phone with my boy Dan Olasky yesterday, and we were going back and forth about this particular topic. He was not a big fan of the pistol. He's not a big fan of, you know, how they're using some of the guys. For me, I think it just comes down to making things easier for your quarterback. You got to find ways to simplify it, whether you think he's the elite processor that you know he is. But there's still things that happen in ball games where you have to slow it down for him. Even if, you know, you feel he's at a position where he can handle everything with his offense, but when things aren't going your way, I think you have to simplify it. I think there's pros and cons to using the pistol. I think there's good times where you can use it and it gives you an advantage. Then there's other times, like on 4th-and-1, when you shouldn't be in the pistol and trying to run downhill. So I think there's a lot of different ways to look at this offense, but ultimately I think it comes down to making your quarterback comfortable. And if your receivers aren't in the right spot, if, you know, they're not getting lined up, the play's not getting in, if you're not running the ball well on first down, if, you know, you're allowing different coverages to kind of affect you, then all that affects the quarterback. So I think ultimately it comes down to what does he do really well, put him in positions to do that, and also simplify the ball game. It's not a hard game. Everybody's been – we've been playing this game for years, and you don't have to overcomplex this thing to beat a defense. And I think you give him those chances and give him those opportunities to show who he really is without overcomplicating everything.
Quick, Shock, I want to ask you about that. You say simplify. It feels like it's pretty vanilla in some ways with some of the motions that we aren't seeing as much. We didn't see a lot of them last week. When you say simplify, can you kind of talk a little bit about that to the audience and some of us? So we want to know exactly what that means, because I think people hear simplify and they go, wait a minute, it's already predictable. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I think when I hear simplify and I say simplify, I think it has a lot to do with the things that happen before you snap the football. Some of the, you know, pre-snap things, some of the things that you see before you even snap the ball. Maybe it's the play call. Sometimes as a quarterback, you get a play call. Even like we've seen in the last few weeks, if a play call comes in late or you don't hear it. And within his offense, it's a worrying one. I remember playing for Greg Knapp, and he was a West Coast guy, and it would go 12 to 15 plays in your play call. And imagine getting that in late and then having to spew that in the huddle and then say it in a confident way. And then come to the line of scrimmage and say, oh, yeah, something else is happening. We got to change this play. And I think for me, simplifying what happens before you even get to the line of scrimmage is a big deal. And, you know, there are some things that happen post-snap, but I think it all comes down to getting him comfortable before he even gets to the line of scrimmage, where there's not overthinking as you begin a particular play, and then that allows you to play a little bit faster.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to look at. I think I agree with you that it's a tale of two comments. It's like, I want more diversity in the run game, and, you know, mm-hmm. I want more diversity in, like, I'd like to add a screen or a trap or some of the other things. But when it comes to the passing game, like, I don't think you need to go any more in depth. It sounds like his plate is kind of full. It's like, you know, kind of pull the reins back in terms of the passing concepts. But in terms of the way we're getting there, I would like that to be a little more in depth. And, Shock, I'm just going to follow that up by asking you this, because Lord knows I have no business talking on this topic. Shotgun versus under center versus pistol. Talk about the pros and cons from a quarterback, from the eyes, from reading defenses, in terms of having to turn away and do play action passes, or just doing that with your eyes continuing to stay downfield in the shotgun.
Yeah, when you're under center, sometimes it does work well for you, because, like I said, there's a pros and cons to it, like you mentioned. Obviously, the pros is a good play action will pull linebackers up. A good play action will fall to the steps of those guys who are in coverage, and it gives you the opportunity to probably get some behind them. But then the cons is, like you mentioned, turning your back to the defense and not seeing what happens post-snap, as opposed to, okay, when I walked up to the line of scrimmage, they was in a two high. I turn around and give the play action. All of a sudden, they're in one high. Here comes a robber. Here comes maybe a guy off the edge. And you have to process that a lot quicker than it was and say, I'm in the shotgun and everything's in front of me. As opposed to the pistol as well, when obviously you turn your back as well. There's also the other part of, say you're in the pistol and you turn your back, and then obviously you turn it around. And I think the timing of it sometimes is misconstrued. When you're under center, you got to get 7 to 8 yards of depth off the play action. When you're in the shotgun or in the pistol, you're already 5-6 yards deep, and then you go into the play action, and then you hitch up and you're ready to go, but your receivers may not be in the spot to go. So that throws off the timing with your footwork. It throws off the timing sometimes of the routes, and you got to wait a little bit longer as opposed to, okay, I'm under center and I go. Now, people have been in shotgun and pistol for years, but I think sometimes they have to do a better job of just marrying the routes, the timing, all that together. And like I said, it's just six games. I think they're still learning, because sometimes some guys are really quick in the shotgun with their drop. Sometimes guys are really slow and methodical with their drop, and the timing kind of is misconstrued sometimes with your receiver. So that's all the stuff that you have to kind of work on during camp and the offseason to kind of fine-tune those things. But there's definitely pros and cons to everything.
Finishing up here with our buddy, former Georgia Bulldog, Mr. Georgia Bulldog, I should say, DJ Shockley. Hey, man, before we let you go, I want you to talk about Gunnar Stockton. I remember talking to you last year sometime in December after Gunnar Stockton made his debut there in the second half of that SEC title game. You were one of the first ones we talked to when it was like the eyes of the people around that program, in that locker room, the belief they have in Gunnar Stockton. I think that showed through with the victory a couple of weeks ago up in Tennessee. Talk to us about kind of where he's come, as you know, from last year, from the playoffs, and where he led them to victory over there in Tennessee coming into this weekend.
Yeah, I just think a comfort level that he has within itself. I think he already knew that he expected that he could play at this level. And I think he needed everybody around him to feel the same way. And I think when he came out last year and played in that ball game, a lot of guys had confidence in him. But as you know, you got to go do it. It's a difference than talking about it or seeing it in practice. You got to see it in those biggest moments when the lights are brightest. And you saw it last year. You saw it in Tennessee. And I was talking to Zachariah Branch this week, and he was just talking about how just poised he was, how he, when he came on his visit from USC to just watch practice, he saw it from day one, just how cool and collected and how this guy can make every throw. And that was one of the biggest reasons why he came to Georgia, because he saw Gunnar Stockton first. So the idea of watching him grow up in the last few weeks, especially on the road in Tennessee, when your back's against the wall. And I think that was the biggest question mark that people had probably about Georgia's offense, is if you get down by a couple touchdowns, can Gunnar throw you back in the ballgame? And I thought he did a great job of doing that. And Gunnar's one of those kind of dudes that when, you know, things aren't going the right way, this guy's still even keel. But at the same time, he's going to elevate the play of everybody around him just because of his confidence and why he goes out and play hard. So they have the ultimate respect for Gunnar. And as we all know, when your teammates have that, they go a little above and beyond. And they play a little bit harder for their guy.
Hey, Shock, are you going to get any sleep this weekend? It seems like a pretty big weekend for a sports director.
Alex, no chance. I mean, it's starting today. I mean, Friday, forget about it. My daughter's got a game in Milton. I'll be there all night. Then obviously, game Saturday, Falcons Sunday, wake back up, do it again. So it's no chance for that, but I appreciate you, Alex.
Hey, he's living the dream, baby.
Living the dream living for the real. Dream. No, we appreciate you for squeezing us into your schedule this week. Thanks, Shock.
No doubt. I appreciate it. And you guys keep them bow on the wraps. I mean, have they moved on to basketball season with the Gators or what?
Oh, man, low blow.
Yeah, you can't ask him about Florida right now.
My bad, Bo.
That is UJ Shockley, former Georgia Bulldogs and Atlanta Falcons quarterback, and now sports director at Fox 5 Atlanta. That's going to do it for us, for Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack. Thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.